Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. Today, we're joined by Olarinde Olukuntoye, COO of Ripple, a fintech platform that addresses financial challenges for Africans, as we discuss how we simplify remittances and provide tailored financial solutions to freelancers on the African continent. Hi, Olarinde. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Sheo. It's great to be here. Amazing work you're doing. Thank you so much.
So how we typically begin these episodes is by talking a bit about your background and your journey to your current role. So can you share some details on your education, your career path, and how that led you to your current position as CEO of Ripple?
Yeah, absolutely. Before Ripple, I have a background in veterinary medicine. So I'm a doctor by training, veterinary medicine and surgery, actually. I'm from Nigeria. I had very serious interest in business. I had a very serious interest in impact and entrepreneurship in general. Going back before university, right, I always knew I had so much interest in impact, problem solving, and all of that. I think God has a way of doing his things. So, I mean, I got into the university, I found my aunt, so I was able to touch on some few programs, few opportunities to be able to practice what I actually really liked, which is impact, business, entrepreneurship, and just problem solving, right? So, I mean, trying to solve people's needs. Sometimes people, like, I would say, how do I shuttle medicine with business? To me, the gap there, or should I say the common factor there, is impact and trying to solve people's problems. So, I mean, when I was in second year in school, in medical school, joined some programs, some communities that teaches entrepreneurship and also teaches impact. If I'm allowed to name, one of it is Enactors and a couple of them back in school. Those organizations, communities shaped my early life, right, with respect to doing business, doing entrepreneurship, and just impacting the world. I did that for a couple months, couple years, and I was able to learn a few things, right? Fast forward to my third year in the uni, my friend and I co-founded a startup. We built an assistive solution that helps visually impaired people to be able to read independently and also navigate the environment more independently as well. The name of the product is called Vices, and the name of the startup is called Vinsight. Right from then till now, we've got so much attention because of the impact of the product or the impact of the business. We got into accelerator programs, Facebook, MasterCard, Merck, a couple of them. And we also got a lot of mentions and a lot of attention from the media groups, CNN, BBC, Reuters.
Wow, that's very impressive. And how long did you do that for?
So yeah, we did that from third year in the uni up to now, it's still running. So that's like the foundation for my business life or my entrepreneurship life.
That's great. And what was your journey like after you finished school?
I finished school about 2-3 years ago, and immediately I finished school, I scaled the Vinsight startup to the US through partnerships from MIT and a couple of other partners, right? And we scaled it to the US, tried to penetrate the market. It was quite difficult at that point in time, but I mean, it's still something where we're able to do, and we are still doing right now.
Yeah, thanks for that detailed explanation of your journey from your time in school as a vet student. During that time, you pivoted into something that's more business focused. And that was really sort of nurtured by your time in school, being part of business clubs and getting involved in that area early. You started Vinsight Limited, and I'm really glad to see that it's gotten a lot of attention and that it was quite successful. Just to explore that a bit more, I understand that with Ripple, what you're essentially doing is more financial, right? It's more in the financial sector. And there you're addressing a specific problem. I just want to talk a bit more about your motivations. For these two companies, do you see yourself as the kind of person who approaches startup from a problem-solving perspective? And then how do you reconcile these two startups that you've created?
Yeah, awesome. I think that's a very good question. So for me, I would say I see building a startup or building a business from a problem-solving perspective. So if there's a problem and you're able to provide a solution to it, the world will navigate towards you. That's a theory that is well recognized. So yeah, solving problems with long-lasting solution and also like very viable solution as well. Yeah, so yeah, in trying to like reconcile in both, I would say for Vinsight, we actually saw a need, or we saw a problem that a lot of visually impaired people in Africa, in Nigeria, were facing at that point. So we saw a lot of people dropping out of school because of visual impairment. So interestingly, it happened to a friend of ours right in our corner, and it was quite empathetic for us. We had to come together and see, what can we actually do to solve this problem? So it was more like seeing the problem and building a solution around it that would actually be sustainable and actually viable for us, for the Vinsight startup. And yeah, coming back to Repo, it was also like seeing another problem. So we always see this thing from like the problem perspective. So we saw the problem and we saw that we could actually build this. We could actually build a solution that could address this problem. So I would say I am a problem solver, quite impact oriented as well. I like to provide solution to problems that I've seen or I've observed along the way.
Wow, that's a great response. So you saw your friend going through some struggles and you decided to come together to build something to address that problem. I find that that's very deep. And if you're describing yourself as somebody that loves solving problems, that's a very touching and close to home problem to solve. So it's great to see how Vinsight has been able to allow you to really exercise those problem-solving muscles. And you've carried that desire onto your work with Repo. So just quickly, where did the idea for Repo come from?
So when I was in the US, my co-founder and I saw an opportunity gap for Africans. Africans were finding it very difficult to be able to access credit in the US, access credit in even in Canada and even the UK and a lot of countries in Europe as well. And this is majorly due to the fact that they were not able to transfer their credit from their local countries to their new countries. We saw a very huge opportunity and a very huge impact gap there, and we opted on it. So we try to ensure we are very impactful as much as possible, right? Trying to solve people's needs. We opted on it then. Yeah, we started building from North America, went back to Nigeria to extend the solution to some banks and some lenders in Africa, in Nigeria specifically. So basically all we're doing at that point is we're trying to underwrite customers for them to be able to access loans, for them to be able to access good loans from lenders. Yeah, we did that with a couple of banks, a couple of lenders. So in essence, what we're doing is we're trying to help these individuals to be able to get easy access to loans that they actually need, they actually like they are fit for. We're also helping these lenders as well to be able to identify good customers. So we're reducing bad loans for the lenders as much as possible. And we're helping individuals at the same time to be able to access good loans for them, loans that would not break their own bank at the end of the day when they're trying to pay back. That's what we're doing at that point. We did that for a couple months. It was great, but I mean, I would say, or we would say, that there are certain products that the market might not be ready for. There are certain products that, I mean, you just have to keep reiterating until you are able to find a good, a suitable position to be in, right, and to keep scaling. So for us, we saw that the market was not ready for the product at that point in time. Just few people were trying to pay. And due to the issues with respect to credit data in Africa or in Nigeria specifically, it's quite difficult to be able to identify customers that would actually back these loans at a very high level. So we're doing well with identifying these customers. We work with a couple of banks, a couple of lenders, and it was going great. But the data in itself, the fragmented data within the credit system, was also an issue, right, in terms of getting this loan. So should I say in terms of loan recovery? In essence, when we saw that this was something maybe for the future, maybe 2 years, 3, 4, 5 years from now, we had to take a pause there and we had to pivot into what we currently do at Repo, which is building a financial service, a global financial service that we aid African freelancers to be able to access seamless payments from their employers abroad.
So we're back here with Olarinde Olukuntoye, CEO of Repo, a fintech platform that aims to address problems African freelancers are facing. Now we want to dive into what Repo actually is and what challenges it addresses for Africans on the continents, what problems you're solving, So can you just give us maybe a detailed explanation of Repo as a company? What do you guys plan to accomplish? Give us the problem and the goals in a couple of sentences.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you again for that question. At Triple Whoa, our goal is simple. We aim to address the problems that freelancers in Africa experience with respect to receiving payments from their employers or their business partners in other countries. So from the US, the UK, Canada, Europe, and all over the world, pretty much. So that's our goal at Triple. But just to put more context to it, is there are over 50 million freelancers in Africa. Or gig workers. I mean, some people call it gig workers as well. So in Africa, a lot of them, over 80 to 90% of them, experience issues with respect to receiving payments from their employers, or should I say, from their partners or their business partners abroad. And these issues stem from hassles in collection accounts, right, or banking accounts that they require to be able to receive payments for services provided. You can imagine a scenario where you are a content creator in Kenya and you're just trying to provide your content creating service to somebody in the US, so to a company in the US, and you find it very difficult, like, to receive a pay, to receive reward for this service that you provided. So imagine that scenario. It could be so excruciating for that freelancer, or should I say that service provider, or that gig worker in Kenya, or be it Nigeria, be it Ghana, be it Rwanda. It could be painful after rendering this service, but you cannot get paid for it. Or even if you are able to see some people find some solutions that they used to do this at the end of the day. But what we've been able to understand from them after our very close interaction with them is these platforms are very difficult to actually get on. So it's very difficult to get on this platform because these platforms are foreign platforms that don't even understand the user base or the user experience in the African ecosystem. And because of this as well, they charge a lot of fees, high fees and hassles to actually create accounts to receive payments, or to be able to have collection accounts to receive payments. So that's like the issue, right? So that's the problem that freelancers in Africa experience. And we at Triple, we've talked to them, we've engaged with a lot of customers. And from our engagement with customers, we've seen that there's a way forward, there's a solution to build. We have built this solution, and we keep building the solution. So we get feedback from customers per time to be able to refine the solution better. So it goes beyond just even receiving payments. It also extends to paying for services as well. So business owner in Africa also experience issues with paying for services, probably in USD currency or even in Canadian currency and all of that. So we also provide services to be able to pay for the services as well for them. That's what we do, and that's where we come from.
Okay, that's a very good explanation. I was curious to know why you were focused on African freelancers, but it sounds like you had a lot of surveys and you were talking to African business owners, and that allowed you to identify the unique problem they were all facing. So good on you guys for really narrowing down on what your project scope was, the problems you're trying to address, and whose problems you were trying to solve. So I want to ask a question more about the details on when and where you guys were founded. Are you guys incorporated in Canada? It seems like you are. I just want to know what your team dynamic is. You're the CEO. Who else are you collaborating with and building repo with?
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, in terms of our operations, right, we're registered in a couple of countries, but I would say our headquarters of operation is still the US. We're registered in Canada for sure, as you mentioned, registered in Nigeria as well, and a couple of countries. So yeah, but head of operations, as I mentioned, is the US. And in terms of team structure and in terms of staff structure in general, I've got co-founders as well. So I've got three other people that we are doing this. It's a journey, and we are excited to build this. Yeah, in terms of team as well, we've got employees from around the world. So Canada, the US, Nigeria, yeah, and a couple places around the world, a couple other countries around the world. So we don't see ourselves like localizing in the countries, in this, in terms of trying to actually employ. We try to ensure our employees are able to work from different parts of the world. Yeah, that's the team structure and our operations in general. My CEO, interestingly, we've been friends for about 10 years, right from veterinary school in Nigeria. We started out Vinci together as well, and we started Repo together as well. My CTO as well, we've been friends for about 7 years there about now, 5 to 7 years, isn't it, if I'm not mistaken. We worked on Vinci together as well, and we are again together at Repo. Yeah, my CFO, we've known for a couple of years as well, and We've been doing report together since then. My CEO is called, his name is Tommy Kolaole Oluwatosin, Mr. Kolaole. My CTO is Ayokunle Adesanya. And my CFO is James Isibo.
Okay, nice. And you guys are all collaborating together to build Ripple. So from the outside looking in, Ripple, as you said, is a platform that supports African small businesses in receiving payments. But you also mentioned that they can also spend the Ripple. I want to understand how all this is working. So can you walk us through the experience of somebody downloading Ripple as an app? For example, a small business owner in Africa. What's the experience in doing that? What's going underneath the UI layer? How exactly are you able to support them receiving money, and how are you able to support them paying as well?
The Ripple.
You've been asking interesting questions, right? So I must comment. In terms of boarding on the Ripple app or joining the Ripple family, it's quite simple. Users in Africa or freelancers in Africa, be it SMEs, be it gig workers, be it people that just want to receive payments right from their employers or from their business partners abroad. So it's simple. What they need to do is they just need to go on the Play Store or the iOS store and download Ripple. Onboarding is quite easy and very fast. Still, I regard it as 1-3, right? So load your information, right? Your details, which is like your first name, your last name, your ID documents, and definitely would like to know you more with your address. In 1-3 steps and few minutes, you are onboarded. Yeah, in terms of the onboarding part, that's it. And in few minutes after, you can also make a request for accounts that you want. So if you need a USDA collection account, you need Canadian collection account, or it be it Euros collection account or Pounds collection account, you just go on the platform, request. We've been able to observe that different people receive different payments, and they deal with people and businesses and employers in different parts of the world. So depending on the kind of employer you deal with, you are going to request account depending on that currency in that country of the employer.
And what currency is the most prominent on your platform?
There's a little bit of Thai, but I would say most often it's the USD currency, but oftentimes people also request for the Euros currency as well. A few number of people as well still request for, and a lot of people as well still request for GBP. So, but from statistics, it's more of the US currency. Taking back to what you mentioned about how do they receive these payments on the platform and how do they spend as well. In terms of receiving these payments, when you request on our platform for any of these collection accounts, you have banking information or collection account information that is domiciled in those countries, right? So, for example, come on the platform, you request for a USD account. You'd get that in a few minutes and you'll see your own personal banking information that is domiciled in the US. So the account is actually domiciled in the US, and you would have your name, your full name, your address, your routing code, sorting code, SWIFT code, and all of those information right on the go. And that's right from your local country. So you actually like request for this from anywhere in Africa and you receive it on the go. Yeah, that's also count for GBP currency, it counts for Canadian, and also counts for the Euros account as well. So definitely you are able to open a Nigerian account with us as well, right? Which is the account that you are able to convert whatever currencies you receive from your employers, right, directly into your local currency if you are in Nigeria. And if you are in Ghana, Kenya, you are able to do that as well, right? But that's still in our expansion plan. Right now, it's still for Nigerian Naira, for the local currency. And for payment, when you've received this money from or this payment from your employers, you are able to spend, right, easily on the platform. So in essence, you can also request for a card, right, a USD card that you can use to like pay for stuff abroad, the cloud services, right? So for your AWS services, you can use to pay for it, be it be social services as well, like your Netflix, your Apple Music, and all of that. So you can do that on the platform as well.
Okay, so I'm hearing a few terms you've mentioned here. You said collector's account. I'm going to assume that's a bank account, but let me know if there's a subtle difference. So if I go on the platform, let's say I'm based in Lagos and I'm creating content for somebody in the US and they want to pay me. So of course I need to sign up on Ripple and select which currency that I want that I'll be receiving money from. And let's say I'm getting paid in US dollars, so I select USD. So that would create a bank account for me in the US as a Nigerian freelancer. That's what you're saying, right? So how are you able to create a bank account in the US while being situated in a foreign country? What do you have to go through in order to do that? Any regulatory roadblocks? Is this standard practice? Just for the audience, provide more context there.
In terms of regulations and compliance, you've got to be quite compliant. So it's a very, I would say, very delicate market. You've got to have licenses. In the US, they call it MSB license. In Canada, they also call it MSB license as well. So it's called a money service business license. In Nigeria, it's called an IMTO license. It's also called that as well, in similar parts of Africa. So in essence, you've got to have all of these licenses, right? How we've done it so far is we've got a couple of these licenses ourselves, and for us to push forward and push faster, we also partner with other businesses that have these licenses so that we are able to leverage those licenses to provide these services to freelancers in Africa. So it's more like trying to get these licenses, which I mentioned earlier, MSB, IMTO, and also partner with businesses that also have these licenses such that you're able to provide these services across board. And so you just have to be compliant in a sense. So compliance is quite key for you to be able to provide these services. Just to touch on what you mentioned around the whole scenario being foreign to you, it's a new dimension, but I mean, it's a lot of Africans are familiar with this process and familiar with the flow, and they are getting used to it very fast because they're actually experiencing a problem. They also see that this is a solution to solve the problem.
Okay, if you're saying this is a standard and anybody that's setting up this kind of business would have to get a license and be compliant with laws and just adopt financial best practices. So let's say your competitor is like Sendware and Triplecash, because those sounds like those are the guys that are doing something similar. I'm assuming they have to follow these same protocols, essentially setting up a bank account for somebody else in a foreign country, allowing them to receive payments. How's Ripple standing out from competitors like that if you're offering similar services?
You mentioned Sendwave, you mentioned Chipacash. These are similar services in a way, right? But some of these guys are our indirect competitors. We play in the same space of remittance to just cap it up. Now, if you dive deeper, rather, you'll be able to see that there are like a little bit of differences. All of them have to like get these licenses. So they also need these MSB licenses or these IMTO licenses in Africa. So definitely Sendwave and other ones like that would also require these services. But in terms of competition, we are not in direct competition with these guys you mentioned, right? Because we provide accounts for freelancers in Africa to receive payments. I think they or other guys just help Africans in diaspora to just send money easily to Africa. So we focus on the African freelancers in Africa, and those guys focus on Africans more in diaspora.
Okay, so very distinct services. How does Repo make money? How are you guys generating revenue?
So we charge like very small fees. We call it deposit fees. So compared to other guys out there that you'll see them charging 1% of maybe of a $10,000 that you receive, or maybe over 1% of a $10,000 you receive from your employer as a freelancer, we charge lower, way lower. We charge between 0.3 to 0.9% or 0.8% rather, right? And that's the flow for us in terms of making money. So just simply on deposit fees.
Okay. And that's obviously going to scale with the more users you have using Ripple. So do you have any data or metrics to report on how many people are actually using Ripple today?
Yeah, I mean, we started out a few months ago, right? Close to 1 year now. We've been on stealth even before then. And we've got good numbers progressively increasing. I would say we have just a few thousands for now. But definitely we are pushing further. We are scaling further. And we are expanding as fast as possible to reach out to as many millions of freelancers as possible.
Okay, I think you mentioned that most currencies that these freelancers are demanding are US dollars. Or if I'm wrong, please clarify what the breakdown was.
Yeah, more of USD than euros, right? Down to GBP and Canadian.
Okay, all right. So USD first. And as you try to expand Repo, where are you trying to expand your product to? You guys are currently based in Nigeria right now. So what other African countries are you looking to expand your services to?
Yeah, within the next few months, I'm looking to expand to a few other parts of Africa, Ghana, that's West Africa, Ghana, and so some parts of East Africa as well. So Kenya, also Rwanda. We're able to understand that there are a lot of freelancers that also experience this issue like at a high level, at a large scale in these countries, and we look forward to expanding to those countries, solving this problem for them as well.
Okay. Do you envision any challenges when doing that? What do you imagine could arise when you're trying to expand to these other regions?
Yeah, definitely a lot of challenges in this business. But I mean, as the challenges come, we always try to solve or surmount them. So some of the challenges that would arise would be compliance, so regulations from the government. Some challenges that you would also see would be market adoption, so product adoption. So it sometimes could be difficult for customers to adopt your solution as fast as possible if you are not able to speak in their language. So when I mean speak in their language, I mean tell a story that actually like resonates with them. So major issues would be compliance or regulations within those countries, and I would say market adoption as fast as possible. But definitely would be able to like summon this by God's grace.
Yeah, and of course, market adoption, if it's successful in Lagos, people will feel more comfortable using your service. So do you have any success stories that you can share with that demonstrate that impact that you've had on Nigerian freelancers currently?
When we launched this product a few months ago, the product that for freelancers, on the day we launched it, we had a lot of sign-ups. And the interesting side of it is, it was not just sign-ups for our customers. It was more like, we are experiencing a pain. We actually have pain points. Please give us the solution. That was the way it was looking like. And I mean, if it's possible, I can even share information that I know this, but I mean, I know definitely this like a virtual call. It was just so surreal that like, it feels like, is this real? We could see firsthand that people needed this. People were rushing to get in. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So people were trying to onboard as fast as possible. So they were asking for the solution. Some were also giving like feedback on the go. Okay, this is what we should do. This is what we should do to optimize the product. This is what we should do to make the product very easy for them to use as well. I think from my own perspective, when customers are able to like interact with your products, and they are also able to solve their problem using your product, and they are able to give you this feedback one-on-one, to me is one of the best success stories you can actually have as a business.
And that sounds good to hear. And this is in line with the problem that Ripple is attempting to solve. Can you just recap that broader issue for the audience once again?
The issue or the problem they were experiencing is limited opportunities or limited solutions to help them to receive payments in the first place. As I mentioned earlier, there are a few products that helps people to receive payments from employers abroad, right? But these products are more designed for the American markets, I would say, if I'm not mistaken, anyways. So based on the user experience, based on my own experience as well, they are developed for the American market more. Maybe the UK market as well. They are designed for those markets better, right? And it's difficult for freelancers in Africa to even onboard. Sometimes it's even difficult for them to even download because some of these products are regionalized, I would say. So they are not able to like onboard easily on the platform. And if some of them actually are able to like onboard, the next problem they face is the high fees in terms of receiving payments from the employers. So their fees, like very high fees that they experience. Another thing, again, even if they're able to even accept those fees, which I would advise not to, the other issue that they experience is, after receiving these payments in USD, in the Great British Pounds, or the Canadian dollars, or even the euros, they are not able to convert these currencies easily back to their local currencies, maybe in Nigeria or in Kenya and all of that. It's a cascade of issues. But the first major issue is they are not even able to get access to like collection accounts or banking accounts that they're able to use to receive payments in the first place. So it's a cascade of issue, and that's where we are coming in to solve this problem. And we are currently doing it, as I mentioned earlier, we have built and we keep building for our customers.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. And so you've mentioned that Chipper and Sunwave are more of your indirect competitors. So who would your direct competitors be in this case? Who's attempting to solve a similar problem, already has a solution to this kind of problem, but doesn't address it as precisely as Ripple is doing? What would you say the main feature that you're offering is that if you weren't offering this, African freelancers would be using other platforms?
I think some of our competitors would be PayPal and maybe Payoneer. For PayPal, it's difficult for freelancers in Africa to even like even download. I mean, for some parts of Africa, they are not able to download. For some, for almost all parts, they are not even able to onboard. So I think based on the process, there are some information or some data that these people are supposed to provide that they don't even have access to. So these freelancers don't even have access to this kind of data because they are more regionalized, as I mentioned earlier. So because they don't have that data, they are not even able to onboard in the first place. So let me just give you a sneak peek of what to do. So what people do is, for some people that have friends abroad, maybe in the US, they tell their friends to open those accounts for them in the US, open a PayPal account for them in the US. Then when the friend receives it, the money for them for services provided, then they now exchange the money. I don't know how they do that, but I know they exchange the money in a way. And the person in for example, Nigeria, they can do it off the hook where they go physically to the airport. The person in the US can collect the money from their PayPal from directly into their local bank in Chase or whatsoever. Then it goes to the airport and converts or something like that, right? So, I mean, they do it in different ways. But look at this process, quite strenuous. So the sad part of it is, person that even provide the service, which is the freelancer in this case, is not able to receive his money directly at the first place or in the first place. So he has to depend on somebody else to receive that payment for them. And that's crazy. And definitely there are fees as well, as I mentioned. So using PayPal, definitely there are fees higher than ours and all of that. And also, as I mentioned, they are not able to convert the money directly on the go. So the process I just explained is quite tedious and it's quite laborious because it's long. It's quite long, right? But on our platform, after receiving the USD or receiving the Canadian or whatever, you're able to convert those monies directly into like your local currency, which is Naira or Kenya shillings and all of that, right? So yeah, with your respect to your second question, the thing that we are providing that is a game changer is a package, I would say. So the package is account opening, is it foreign account opening, right? Or multi-currency account opening on our platform. Like you can receive payments, and I would say as well, local currency accounts as well. So if you're in Nigeria, Kenya, whatever, you can also open local currency accounts that you can convert directly to and actually spend within your local country or your home country. So definitely these other platforms that I mentioned will not give you that, or they don't even give you that. The local currency account is something that is very vital for our customers as well and easy onboarding. If there's a barricade in the first place, it's trying to even onboard on the platform, how would they even use the platform in the first place? So we are providing easy access, very seamless access as well.
Okay. All right. So in addressing these problems, I definitely see how that's a value add. The package, all these different features in one. So they don't have to rely on really one company that offers only one of these sets of features, but disadvantages them in another feature. You're really trying to focus on these problems that are African facing, and I think that's wonderful. So I've done some digging, you guys, and I learned that you guys got into Techstars. So I wanted to talk briefly about how your experience was at Techstars and what value you got from Techstars and potentially how they've supported the next phase of your growth.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're in the 2023 class of Techstars in Toronto, Canada. As you may know as well, Techstars is one of the biggest pre-seed investment company in the world. It was quite an exciting experience for us. It's quite exciting. It was very rewarding as well. So to just give you a few insights into what it was like, first of all, I would say we had very amazing leaders. We had very amazing teachers. I would call them teachers or leaders, from Sunil Sharma to Alicia Godin to Gabby to Shibin. So, I mean, these were guys that really held us by the hands and walked us to where we are today and beyond. They've been awesome people, and they are still awesome people, right? So something interesting about Techstars is once you get in, you are in for life. So it's not a situation where you finish from a school in the US or you finish from a school in one part of the world and that's it. So you don't finish from this kind of school and you say bye-bye to your lecturers or bye-bye to your teachers or whatsoever. So your teachers in this sense, or in Techstars, or your mentors or your leaders are still your teachers lifelong, and that's if you want them to be, right? So but that's the relationship that is built. So if you maintain it well, it's going to help you along the way, right? So in terms of the experience and the exposure, it gave us a lot of opportunities to be able to speak with different experts in our field, learn from their insights, learn from their experiences, first-hand, right? So first-hand learning is not a situation of hearsay that someone tells this person and that person tells this and that person tells this. So it was, we're hearing from directly from the horse's mouth. This is what we did and this is how we did it. We had these challenges. This is how we surmounted it and all of that and all of that, right? So awesome experience with these mentors, these business executives across the world. These mentors that we had access to throughout the through our MD, through the governing body of our Techstars in Toronto, they were very insightful. They were very able people, right? So you could walk up to them and ask them different questions and they would give you like real answers. We also would gain access to partners, banking partners, which we currently have today, right, across the world. So banking partners to provide some of these services we provide. We're also able to gain access to some customer partners as well, I would say. It's a kind of mindset that Techstars gives you where if you have a product that solves a problem that another business, right, it's also facing within your community or even within Techstars, they would provide you access to that kind of business and the business would now be a customer. So it's more like exposure to customers as well, right? And also exposure to like investment opportunities. Techstars invests a lot of money as well to their startups, to their portfolio companies, I would say. So it's a host of a lot of things. I want to keep talking about it. I mean, it could take us some few hours, right? But shout out to Techstars Toronto, shout out to Sunil, shout out to Gay Gabby, shout out to Alicia Golden, shout out to Shibin and Techstars governing body in general.
Well, I'm glad to have that you found that experience very beneficial. Those resources that you have, those are, of course, resources, whether financial, like with your mentorship, and just access to a lot of other startups and founders through Techstars' network. Combined with what you currently have with Repo. And maybe I should ask that question first. You mentioned that you're currently launched and you have some users and you're growing and you're trying to scale up with the numbers of users that you have in Nigeria. And then you leave that expansion to maybe other countries and provide similar services there. So where do you see yourself next? So thinking short term, what's that trajectory? What's your plan? Where do you see Repo 1 year from now? And far beyond that is where do you want to take Repo in the long term, say 5 to 10 years. So short-term first, your short-term plans and your long-term plans, which is essentially your vision for Repo.
Yeah, awesome. So for the short-term plan, we see ourselves gaining a good market share in Africa. There are over 50 million freelancers in Africa, and we see ourselves taking as much as 20-30% of these guys within the next few years. This is within the next few years, right? More shorter term, I would say we see ourselves expanding to the countries I mentioned earlier, which is Ghana, Kenya, and Rwanda. Yeah, expanding as much as possible, impacting as much as possible as well. So it's not only about the money for us, it's about the money and the impact that we are actually also achieving at the same time. So impacting many people as much as possible. So for a longer goal for us or a longer term, we see ourselves doing this on a large scale. So we see ourselves owning a bigger market share across the world, right? Down to North America, South America, Philippines, like some parts of Asia as well, different parts of the world. So we see ourselves providing these services to as many millions of freelancers or gig workers in the world. And we hope to achieve this with our partners, our businesses as well.
Okay. And as I hope you achieve your goals in the short term and as you work towards your long-term vision, I wish you and your team the very best of luck. And we're excited to see how you progress along that path.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're back here with Larinde Lukuntoye. He just walked us through the details of Repo, how they differentiate themselves from other fintech platforms, and how they provide their services to African freelancers. And we've talked about the problems they're solving and their experience with Techstars and how it really helped them approach this current phase of the startup. Now, Larinde, we typically wrap up our episodes by diving deeper into you as a person and really trying to understand what's driving you and what's motivating you. My first question to you, and I'm going to ask you too, but the first question is, what's one life lesson or philosophy that has consistently guided you throughout your career?
Okay, so I would say for life lesson, I would say since when I was way younger, the fact that I'm able to see people's problems, I'm able to share in people's problems. This is across different facets, from health issues, right, from finance issues, right, from seeing this firsthand from people around, financial issues, health issues. This has just sort of built some sort of strength within me, right? It has also built some sort of empathy as well. I think I'm naturally empathetic about people's problems, to actually provide solutions to different people's problems, or should I say provide solutions to problems in general. That's like the life lesson. So it's not, they're not very specific to somebody, or it's not very specific to like myself, right? But I mean, I've seen different issues, and I don't know, I think I just have that some sort of spirit to be empathetic about it, or about this issue, and try to solve these issues or these problems. If I were to talk about what's driving me forward, I think there are a few things. One thing is I have a growth mindset, right? So the idea is I see every challenge or I see every failure as an opportunity to grow, right? So if I fail today, if I have a challenge, I see it as an opportunity to grow from that thing, or grow as a person. So you see a challenge, you grow from it. So that's one thing that I've seen. The second thing again is impact. I'm a person of impact. So when I'm doing something, I like to be able to like impact at the end of the day. So there's always a goal for me, and the goal is impact. I don't like to dabble into things without seeing the goal of, okay, how can this touch somebody? How can this actually affect somebody as a person? And that's the real me. So it has to affect somebody. If it's not affecting somebody, then what's the point? So yeah, definitely when you're trying to do that as well, you try to look at the serious factor of your finance, try to make money, and try to be sustainable as a person. But at the end of the day, there should be a serious impact in this, in what I am doing. That's the second thing. And for me, the third one is my faith. This scripture that's quite interesting to me, right? So this is scripture from Ephesians 1:3, where it says God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, right, in Christ in the heavenly places, right? As everyone on it, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. This spiritual blessing comes from, your spirit person as a man, and you sort of manifest these blessings if you believe. And yeah, in your day-to-day life, if you believe, you manifest this, and if you are conscious about this as well. Yeah, those three things have been driving me. They keep driving me as a person, and yeah, I thank God for that.
Awesome. That's really great to hear that you use those three philosophies as a driver for you and everything that you've built. And I really connect with your desire to empathize before you build. I think that's a testament to what you've built in your previous startup and where you're currently building with Ripple. So it's great to see how that sort of connection between the two startups you've helped build. And I hope you keep empathizing and you continue to solve these problems, because that's the best way to really meet the end user's needs and ensuring that they feel heard and ensuring that their problems are really addressed. So great to hear that. And to wrap up, this is the last question I'm going to ask you is, when you look back on your journey, what moment are you most proud of and why?
This is a very deep question, right? So when I look back, I would say that the moment I'm most proud of is when, I won't call it a bold step, but I would say it's the moment I took like the step to even start business. When I got into medical school, it was quite exciting, interesting, and all of that. Yeah, I'm able to solve people's needs from the health perspective or from the medical perspective. But dabbling into business is another dimension entirely. What I'm saying, so it's very easy, or it is easier to impact millions of people doing a business as opposed to doing medicine one person at a time. There's a scaling side to medicine as well, but I'm not in that part. So I think I was more focused on trying to provide therapeutic solutions or medical solutions to people one person at a time. And that is the way medicine is in general. But I mean, dabbling into business, dabbling into entrepreneurship, to me is one of like my biggest achievements, or one of my most interesting things as a person. Trying to leverage the talent you have as a person, trying to leverage the talent I have as a person as well, or my skills to be able to impact, or should I say touch people at a larger scale. That's it for me, right? Dabbling into business, dabbling into entrepreneurship, dabbling into impact-oriented activities.
Fantastic. And as you've taken this step into the business world, as you combine it with your skill set, whether that's through veterinary medicine, whether that's through your other life experiences, we really wish you the very best of luck along the day with Ripple and what other endeavors you decide to pursue in the future. And I'm looking forward to seeing how you progress with the company. It was really great chatting with you.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks a lot. Thank you so much for this interview. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about myself and the business as well. Thanks.